talk about urgency, part three of urgency. And if we're going to be urgent, we have to share the gospel. Amen? We have to be urgent about sharing the gospel. And sharing the gospel, first of all, it means communicating the good news. That's what the word gospel means. It literally means good news. And we have a message to share with the world. And the message is good news. It is the most wonderful news in the whole world, in fact. God sent his son into the world to die for our sins and to bring us back to himself. Your sins can be forgiven, your slate wiped clean. You can begin again with God. That's awesome. That's good news. That's great news. That is the message God has given us. And we must do everything we can to communicate that message to others. Amen? Did you know that Jesus's first and last commands to his disciples both have to do with sharing the gospel with others? When Jesus saw Andrew and Peter casting a net into the lake, he told them in Matthew 4:19, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That was his first command after Jesus rose from the dead and was ready to go back to heaven. He gave the disciples his last command, and it's called the Great Commission. And we find it in Matthew 28:18-19. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations," Lord have mercy, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." What were Jesus' first and last commands to his disciples? Go and share the gospel. Communicate the good news to others. Jesus began the Great Commission by saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples out of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that is the basis for the Great Commission. All authority has been given to Christ. In the book of Psalms, chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, we read these prophetic words from God, the Father, to his Son. Ministers, you catch that? From God, the Father, to his Son. You are my what? Son. Today I have become your Father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. When Jesus completed his mission on earth by dying on the cross and rising to life again, the words of this psalm were fulfilled. God gave Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus has authority everywhere. Lord, have mercy. Now here is something I want to deal with real quickly and then get right back to my notes. If Jesus has all authority everywhere, right? And we are followers of Jesus by inheritance or by adoption, we are actually brothers and sisters of Jesus. Lord have mercy. If he's got the authority everywhere, then why do we worry about the light bill. If he's got authority everywhere, why do we worry about the water bill? If Jesus has authority everywhere, Lord have mercy. Let me tell you something. His authority is so powerful that even if you're someone that you love ends up in jail, you can actually sleep good at night because Jesus even has authority in the jail. Lord have mercy. And it's not just any authority. He's got power-changing authority. He's got life-changing authority, even in the jails and in the prisons. How do I know? Because I was called in the jails and in the prisons. I was saved in the jails and in the prisons. And I was ordained for such a time as today in the jails and in the prisons. So even when it looks like it's captivity, Lord have mercy, it ain't captivity to Jesus because there ain't a bar that can keep him out. There ain't a door that can't let him. Y'all don't hear me. He's got authority everywhere. Did you hear that? Did you receive that? Amen. He is not just a savior of a few or the savior for a certain group of people. He is the savior of the whole world. Now that does not mean that the whole world will be saved, but rather those in the world who will be saved must come to God through who? Through Jesus. Ministers, did you catch that? In the Great Commission, Jesus declares his authority over all things. And then he commands us to go and communicate the good news to others. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, Lord have mercy, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Can we park right there for a minute? And he says this, surely I am with you. You should have lost your mind right there. And surely I am with you always. Woo. Pastor, why you get excited about that? The reason that I get excited about that is because every now and again, some things come up against me that are bigger than me. So every now and again, some things come up against me that have the power to overwhelm me. And if I'm not focused, it has the power to take me out. But I don't have to worry about that because Jesus said, surely, Lord have mercy, surely I am with you. Not always. I'm with you when you're going through hell. I'm with you when it don't seem like you got enough. I'm with you when people are turning on your phone every side. I'm with you despite whatever it is that you're going through. I'm with you always. That excites me right there. I'm with you when your kids is acting like they ain't got no home training. I'm with you when folk don't return your call. I'm with you. You want? I'm with you. I'm with you when you mess up. I'm with you when you're standing tall. I'm with you when people that you love pass away. I'm with you. It don't make no never mind what's going on. I'm with you always. And he says, I ain't just with you just through the situations. I'm with you too. Till the end of age. I'm with you till the end. Lord have mercy. I can be they used to have a song, you got a friend in me, Lord have mercy. God, what was that? Was that Woody from Toy Story? Yeah, bless my soul. You got a friend in me, Lord have mercy. I don't even know the rest of the song, and I don't have to know the rest of the song. All I got to think about when it comes to Jesus is I've got a friend in him, and it's a friend that's closer than a brother. Woo. So I want you to get this. This is not an option for us as believers. It's not an option. This is not an elective for us as a church. We must go and communicate the good news to others. Jesus's first and last commands both had to do with sharing the gospel. All authority has been given to Jesus, and Jesus commands us to go. So what do we tell people when we are to communicate the good news? Do we simply tell them that God loves them and that he wants to forgive them? Is that all we tell them? Do we tell them what a difference God can make in their lives? Do we tell them that God has a purpose and a plan for their lives? All those are real good things to share. Ain't no doubt about that. But that's not what we mean when we say it's time to share the good news. We can share all those things and more, but there are two specific things that we must communicate if we are truly going to share the gospel with others. And that is, we must tell them about Christ's death and his resurrection. The Bible tells us that the gospel has specific content. It's not just a general good news that God loves you, but there is a specific content in the gospel to hold on to and believe. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 2, the apostle Paul writes, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain." Paul is saying that the gospel, or the good news that he preached, had a specific content. He preached it, and the Corinthians received it, and then they stood on it. Paul says that it is by this gospel that you are saved. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. If you change the content of the gospel, it no longer has saving power. It no longer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is the specific content of the gospel? What is the good news that we are supposed to be sharing with others? Paul tells us in the next couple of verses of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried," Lord have mercy, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. In other words, Christ's death and resurrection are absolutely central to the gospel. That's what was of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. Notice that Christ didn't simply die, but he died for our sins. He didn't just die. He died with purpose. He died with reason. For our sins. Now, let's just park for a second. He died for our sins. Anybody ever die for you? But he died our sins. It begins to become intimate when you really slow the bus down and begin to deal with that. Like, he died for our sins. He died for our mess ups. There's a verse that says that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. So peep game. He didn't wait for you to get it together. Lord have mercy. He didn't wait for you to walk away from it. He didn't wait for you to, you know, come to an awakening. He died while you was knee deep in it for you and your sins. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, I want you to catch this, never sinned. We were the ones who sinned. We were the ones who deserved God's punishment. And Jesus, I want you to catch this because this is heavy. And because we say it so much, I think it just flies over our heads sometimes, right? But Jesus took that punishment for us at the cross. Now, how many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ? Or you've seen some type of rendition of what Jesus went through on that day? He went through that. And let me tell you something, that was Hollywood. It was a million times worse. One, because it actually happened. And two, it happened to a man that was blameless. Here's what made me fall in love with Jesus while I was in prison. This is what made me change my whole way of thinking, is that when I read in Romans 5 and 8 that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. I was thinking about, I went back to the Gospels, and I was thinking about that beating that he took on the strength of me. On the strength of me. Because I wouldn't listen. Because I thought I was grown. Because I thought that I didn't need him. Think about this horrific beating he took for you. And you wasn't even acknowledging him. We wasn't really even paying Jesus no attention. And he was dying. This is what really blew my mind. This is what made me, you know, cross over, was that not only was he being whipped and beat, spit on, beard plucked out, and when they pulled your beard out, in that day, in that culture, it was actually stripping you of your identity. So while they yanked this beard out, they were saying, you are not who you say you are. Lord, have mercy. And they're doing everything that they can to humiliate him and to break him. And here's the thought that crossed my mind, mother, that got me right. He was thinking about me. Ooh. Could you imagine? And as they hit him with these flogs and they ripped the skin off his back, he was thinking about you. If I don't take this, they don't make it. If I don't endure this, they will never stand the test. If I don't go through every bit of what I'm going through, they gonna die in a burning hell. If he had me on his mind, he had me on it. His mind, and not just that. Watch this. Listen, he not only did he have me on his mind, I hear you, but he loved me so much, watch this, that my life was motivation for him to take more. His love for you motivated him to carry the cross. when he could have called 1,000 angels, 10,000 angels, and stopped the whole thing. His love for you motivated him to keep on keeping on. And we got a problem getting up in the morning for Jesus. We honor our job, but we won't honor Jesus. And we claim we understand what he done for us. But I don't know about nobody else in here, but if I begin to get an understanding that everything that he went through, he didn't have to do because he didn't do anything wrong. Everything that he went through on the strength of me. When I begin to understand that, something shifts on the inside of me. I can't call myself real. I can't say I'm 100. I can't say that I stand on business if I can think about that and still play Jesus any old kind of way. It ain't possible. But Paul says even more. Christ not only died for our sins, he died for our sins according to the scriptures. This was not some strange accident or some twist of fate. This was God's plan all along. The Old Testament scriptures foretold what Christ would do for us. We read in Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 6, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed. Somebody say crushed. Now let's do this. I want you to say this. He was crushed for me. Now, when you say it again, I want you to make it personal and think about you. And I want you to think about the words that we're saying. He was crushed for me. Now say it. Ooh, what'd that feel like? It's personal. He was crushed for me. Not nothing he did on his own, but for me. It's enough to make you have to pull the car over for a minute and get yourself together when you begin to think about somebody loved me so much that they was crushed for me. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. So with every wound, with every wound, we became healed. Lord, have mercy. With every opening of the skin, Jesus, we became healed. And it goes on to say, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity, the wickedness of us all. So get this. He wasn't taking the beating for just me. That would be a one-person beating. But when you begin to think about it, he took the beating for humanity. That's a humanity beating. That is horrific to think about. So that's the first thing we must share when we're communicating the good news with others. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, according to God's plan. Trying to walk away from this. You can make a plan, right? Everybody in here has probably made a plan, even if it's just a plan to go to the mall, right? But so you can make a plan and you can walk away from the plan. You can cancel the plan, especially when you know what the plan entails. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, have mercy. got a foresight. Lord have mercy. He got a commercial break of what was on the way. He understood what he was getting ready to have to endure. And but even with understanding, and it was to the point that they said he sweat tears of blood. But then he says something cold. He says something cold-blooded though, right? He knows how this thing's gonna play out. He know ain't nothing sweet about what's getting ready to happen. And he says something just that blows my mind. He says, listen, take this cup from me. If it be your will, I see what I'm getting ready to go. Right now, you're getting to see God being, Jesus being 100% man. He sees the anguish. He sees the pressure. It's real. He sees all the hell he's about to go through. And he says, if there's any way possible that they can be okay, you can go ahead and take, without me having to go through this, then take this cup from me. But watch this. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He could have called it off. He could have returned back on the right-hand side of the Father. He could have enveloped all of his glory. He could have, he didn't have to do it, but he did it any way. But then we got to share about his resurrection. Yes, Jesus died for our sins, but he also rose again. That's the really good news part. That Jesus is alive. He has conquered sin, death, and the grave. When you put your faith in Christ, your sins are forgiven and you are given the free gift of this thing called eternal life. We don't serve the memory of a religious leader who died many years ago. We serve the risen Christ who gives us life and relationship with God every day. So yes, you can tell people about God and the church and all sorts of things relating to Christ, but if we are truly going to witness about the good news, we must tell them about Christ's death and resurrection. That is what is of first importance. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, it is by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Now, I'm trying, y'all, I promise. I'm trying. So when I begin to understand, this happened for me while in jail facing the time that I was facing 20 to life in Louisville and 10 flat here in Lexington. Here's what happened. The more I begin to read these scriptures, right, the more I begin to fall in love. The more I begin to read what he did for me. I spent 2 months in the Gospels. Not even the whole Gospels. I'm talking about the last part. I spent 2 months understanding what he went through. And it would always take me back to Romans 5 and 8. That while I was a sinner, he went through all the last parts of the gospel for me. It was mind-boggling. So, how do we get this love for him? Pastor, I'm trying to lock in on how I can feel, how you feel. how I can feel, how I see other believers in the church feel, how I can look at people around me and know that there is something different about my faith and theirs. And baby, that's called a Bible and a notebook. It's when you begin. See. Here's the problem. Everybody's on Facebook, but we need to be facing the book. You understand? And it's complicated. It's complicated because we are facing Facebook, but not the book. You understand what I'm saying to you? It never makes sense to me how we can sit back and meddle in everybody else's affairs, and everybody sillily puts all their business on a computer, gets mad when people talk about what they put on there. But I digress. But here's it blows my mind when we'll get on social media and read all about somebody else, but we won't read about the one that saved our soul. No, everything about anything going on with anybody that's your so-called friend. You ain't had a conversation with them in years, if ever. And you know everything about their business. Gossip about it. What would it look like if we read the Bible as much as we read Facebook and gossiped as much about the Bible as we gossip about stories and timelines and TikToks and reels, and ain't nothing real about the real. People step back and show you 20 minutes of happiness in their life and you ready to go kill yourself because you think your life sucks. What is wrong with you? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Tell the truth, shame devils. Read them stories and get mad at your life. See his wife, now all of a sudden your wife ain't got no value. See her man, and all of a sudden you looking at your man like he's some type of loser or something. Go live with him, that's what I say. Yeah. Sonya, is this a rabbit hole? Ministers know what I'm talking about. Is this a rabbit hole? Let me come out the rabbit hole. Amen. Amen. I called it out on myself. Amen. 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 So with whom do we share this amazing news of Jesus' death and resurrection? The answer is with anybody that don't know it. Now, you ask yourself, how do I know who don't know it? Well, anytime that you see somebody talking hopeless, they don't know Jesus. Anytime you see somebody talking reckless, they don't know Jesus. Anytime that you see somebody that will put a picture that millions and upon millions, potentially billions of people can see, and they barely got any clothes on, they don't know Jesus. Anybody who let their wife do something like that, that husband needs to know about Jesus. Oh, y'all quiet now. Yeah. It's not hard to figure out who don't know Jesus. The fruit, Lord have mercy, will always tell you what type of tree you're dealing with. Yes. Amen. Amen. And so we witness to anybody that don't know it. Now I love hearing the gospel over and over again. I never get tired of thinking about what Jesus has done for me. In fact, we should all reflect on Christ and the gospel every day. The gospel is the very basis of our Christian walk in faith. In fact, I said this morning when I was working on this. I said I'm going to start thinking about what God brought me out of every day before I start my day. Because if not, what becomes important is the type of car I drive. What becomes important is the size of my house. If I'm not thinking about what Christ done for me and what he brought me out of, then all of a sudden I can find some things that's far more important than Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Which ain't got nothing on Christ, but I get in my own head. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You get in your own head. But it isn't until you begin to think about, you know what? I would have died in that had it not been for Jesus. I'd still be going through that had it not been for Jesus. So every now and again, we need to take a look at what Jesus brought us from. And then everything else seems petty in comparison. Everything else that I'm going through is petty in comparison. Yeah, we should all reflect on what he's done for us. But if we only share the gospel with ourselves, if we only share the gospel within the church, then something is terribly wrong with that picture. It's like a group of cancer patients finding a cure and keeping it to themselves. That would not only be incredibly selfish, that would be morally wrong. And we are dealing with something far more serious than cancer, believe it or not. Cancer affects a certain percentage of the population. Sin affects us all. Cancer can kill your body. Sin that's left undealt with will kill your body and your soul. We have a responsibility to share the good news with those who have not heard it. Before Jesus returned to heaven, he told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If you look at those places, if you look at those names on a map, you'll see a progression. Jerusalem is at the center. That's where the gospel started. Next, the gospel was to go out to the surrounding areas of Judea and Samaria. And then finally, the gospel was to go out to the rest of the world, to the very ends of the earth. So there was both a local component to sharing the gospel as well as a worldwide thrust. It's what missions is about. Why we've got to support missions, amen? The same twofold responsibility rests on us as believers today. We should be sharing the gospel locally within our neighborhoods, our communities, and we should also be sharing it, be involved with sharing it worldwide, especially among people who have no Christian witness and who have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you know that we sit back and we say, well, everybody done heard of Jesus, at least in America? No, they haven't. No, they haven't. And if they have, they've not been introduced to the Jesus, our Savior. They've not been introduced to the Jesus of victory. You understand what I'm saying to you? What they've been introduced to is some watered down Candyland religion that ain't seen nobody win in. And so their mentality is, if it ain't winning for you, why would I take part in it? No, everybody ain't heard about Jesus, not the Jesus that we've heard about. Amen. So we need to be doing both. Both are essential, a part of sharing the gospel in your community and with the world. Now you would think that as Christians who have been given this good news of the gospel, we'd be sharing the gospel with everybody around us all the time. But the sad truth is that ain't the case. So why is that? Why don't we share the gospel more frequently? Hugh Chapman, pastor of All Souls Church in England, recently answered this question at a conference. And let me tell you up front, you ain't going to like the answer. That doesn't mean it ain't a good answer or that the answer ain't true. It just means you ain't going to like it. Chapman said, get this, we don't tell people the gospel for one of two reasons. Either because we don't believe the gospel ourselves, or two, because we don't love them. Woo. I got a third reason that we don't talk about or communicate the gospel to everybody that we come in contact with. Because many of us, even though we sit in church, don't know the gospel. We are guilty of coming to church but not coming to Christ. We are guilty of listening to what pastor says, but not reading and studying and knowing for ourselves. The reason that we don't share the gospel with people is either because deep down in our hearts, we don't really believe it, or we don't love people enough to tell them, or we can't tell them what we don't know. Huh? That's a tough answer to swallow, but I believe he's right. We sometimes offer other reasons or perhaps excuses, but it all comes back to those two or three. if we really believe the gospel and we really love the people around us, then we will tell them what God has done for them through Christ. And if we really believe that Jesus is the Savior for the whole world, then we will be committed to world missions, praying for missions, giving to missions, being willing to go with the gospel ourselves should God call. Sharing the gospel is where we all need to grow. So the question today is, will you commit yourself before God to sharing the gospel with those around you? You might ask, what will I tell them? Tell them that God loves them. Tell them that God loves them so much, Lord have mercy, that he gave his only son for them. Tell them that Jesus died for their sins and rose again from the grave. Tell them Jesus is alive and offers them forgiveness for their sins and the free gift of eternal life. That's all. I can do that. You can do that. Amen. Now, we're done. But I want to have about a 5 minute, 8 minute word with you, if that's all right. Ain't even going to take 8 minutes. It might. The way certain churches are set up is the way you'll see them grow. Okay? The way this church is set up, the gospels that are preached here, the gospel that is preached here, whether it be through myself, any of the other pastors, ministers, we don't preach a sugar-coated gospel. Amen. And in fact, somebody told Jesus one time, these are hard sayings. These are hard sayings. My question to you is, would you rather us come down here, hoop, holler, skip across the room, yeah, and Jesus and all that, and you go to a hell, or you perish for lack of knowledge, or would you rather sit in a place where you're going to learn the word of God, learn the expectations of God, and make it to heaven? And not only that, be able to teach other people what you learn. See, everything that we talk about from this desk, from this pulpit, can be taken out there, taught, and if applied, we can see people be better. That's what we're called to do. Now, because the makeup of this church, a lot of times, is people that were less likely to succeed, that didn't have it going on all their life, that life threw some curveballs and we made some bad decisions, and you know, that ain't the whole makeup, but that's a lot of it. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so because of that type of conditioning, you might think that you are not called to save somebody else, to play a part in saving somebody else. But yes, you are. The mistakes that you made, the hell that you went through, the things that almost snatched your sanity, is what you have to teach from. Why are you saying all of this, Pastor? So when you leave here, right, and if we are really folk that are saved, then we don't want to see nobody go to hell. Make your point, Pastor. Here it is. So I ain't got time to be talking basketball all the time with people that I don't know. I need to know you saved. We are, every last one of you in here, even though you might not think it, I promise that you are expected by the kingdom that every person you run into could be a potential responsibility. Not monetarily, not taking care of them financially, but making sure, you know what, we've been talking for 10 minutes, and I just want, do you know the Lord? Do you know Jesus? No, no disrespect. I just want to know, because we can't end the conversation until we at least have a little conversation about him. See, some of you think that's weird to do. But then, let me tell you something. We have so many funerals here. And I look out into the crowd, and sometimes I ask myself, have you thought about where they are? And if you're being honest about, if the Bible reads true, right, where they may be, did you ever talk the gospel with them? Did you ever talk Jesus with them? There has to be an urgency. Kids, just grown men, but I, you know, when you're 54, you call everybody a kid. At work, standing on a bus stop, waiting for a work truck to come back, and somebody just takes his life. There has to be an urgency when people will snipe you from 200 yards out, knowing that your baby is standing right there. There has to be an urgency. When a drug for a whole summer is the reason for 20, at least 20 overdoses, and people still buy the drug like crazy, there has to be an urgency. You ain't got time to be talking about who got the best sales and who did your hair and running tales and gossiping about other people. You ain't got time for that. Because have you noticed this? That you are handling people's last moments. You think about this. Today, I could be handling any one of your last moments. So since you don't know, if you had 5 minutes to spend with someone you loved that you knew wasn't saved, what should be the conversation? Do you want to say, we had a good time, they wasn't saved, but boy, we sure laughed. They wasn't saved, but they had me rolling. The conversation should be, every conversation that you leave with somebody that you know ain't saved, it should end in, and just so you know, Jesus died for you. And if you want, and he ain't tripping on what you own, if you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior, we can do this right now. Y'all ain't got to call Pastor. Pastor, I got somebody over here who won't get saved. What are you calling me for? Walk them through it. Do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I do. Then the Bible says you are, do you confess him with your mouth? I do. Do you believe God raised him from the dead? I do. You saved. You won't need me for that. Show people that you are actually learning in church and that you don't necessarily need somebody to hold your hand all through this walk. That's what makes people want to come to this church, because they see you growing, and then when they see you growing, they say, hey, you know what? I can grow too. Yeah. Don't be calling me up because you, that's your responsibility. Amen. That's your reward. It's a part of your reward. Why are you trying to hand it off to me? Amen. Amen. So, what did I used all that 8 minutes and probably a couple more. But why did I? To say Beloved, show yourself approved. Operate as the Christian that you are. I promise you, it will change everything. We were talking about this in minister's class yesterday morning. There's just this place where you get in God. I mean, you know he's there. And it isn't just for the one that preaches. It isn't for the one that teaches. It's not just for, it's for every soul sitting in here. You can get in God and experience his love. And it's like nothing you've ever imagined. It's amazing. It is amazing. Come on down. Amen. Listen, if there is anybody, while we're getting ready for the offertorial part of our service, if there is anybody that says, I want to give my life to Jesus today, we offer you the invitation to come on down.